Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Today, we're going to be talking about hierarchies. An important part of boundaries is who holds the power. This really ties closely to roles, like we've talked about roles, rules, and routines. Who holds the power? Are we in a one-up position in our relationships? Are we in a one-down position in our relationships? Are we peers? Are we on the same footing? So hierarchies play a really important role in boundaries.
I think it's important, too, to recognize that hierarchies are not innately good or bad, right? So there are situations in which the power dynamic, if someone holds it, is a healthy system, right? Or a stable system. And there are other hierarchies where that can be unstable. So, as we look at this, sometimes we think of hierarchy as some people feel that's uniformly bad or unsafe. And of course, if somebody who is uncaring or, not willing to seek the good of all the people involved, that could be unsafe, but hierarchies are not by themselves just automatically unsafe.
Yeah, I think it's first identifying what kind of a relationship is it, or what kind of relationship should it be? Let's just actually say that. What kind of relationship should be? It's like what we mentioned, like parent-child. There should be a hierarchy there. And that's not just for the fact of like a hierarchy, I say, up until the age of 18. There should be some sort of hierarchy going on there, okay? And the reason I say that is because until that age, that person is limited, right? They kind of have like a quote, like a handicap in for a hierarchy, right? Like they're not fully developed. They're not fully grown. They don't have full experience yet. So there should be hierarchy because I was talking about it with a client. When we talk about caretaker, especially with drama triangle and things like that, caretaker role is an actual role that we should play when someone is at a disadvantage because of an intellectual disability, a physical disability.
Yeah, separate than the drama triangle.
Separate than a drama triangle. Same word, different thing. But when you are a caretaker of a child, whether it be because they are, again, developing and aren't quite where they need to be at, and we can't make the phase of like, well, technically they're not where they need to be at till they're 25. I'm talking about till 18. Let's just make like a boundary there with it. Or I have a lot of clients who have adult children who are intellectually disabled or physically disabled. They also have a little bit of our hierarchy there. We're talking about what the relationship should look like, right? Not just like, well, ideally, if it's a really mature child and a really mature adult, it should look equal. No, we're just talking about what are the needs of the individual. So when we're talking about like these levels and things like that, we're going to talk about not just like what the ideal perfect situation would be. It's also about like evaluating the scenario of what is it that this is calling for when we're talking about a hierarchy.
And again, the reason we have that is because there is a disadvantage. And, you know, Haley, you alluded to, you know, the age of 25, you're talking about brain development, right? So that their brain isn't fully developed till 25. With 18 in the United States, that's a legal age of majority, meaning that they don't have legal rights in the same way. So that their ability is changed, you know, and we can, there are exceptions to those rules, but those are some of the dynamics that come in. And the role of a parent when they're in a hierarchy and they do have that role is to care for the child. That's the expectation. We have large organizations throughout the country that are very much saying, is the parent taking care of the child the way they should? Mm-hmm. And then we have a lot of individuals who have their own opinion too on whether people are doing their own thing, but that's not what we're talking about as hierarchy. But I think it's important to recognize that there is a healthy way to be in a hierarchy, just like there's an unhealthy way to be in a hierarchy.
Yeah. So a good way to discover who's in a one-up position is who holds the power. And power isn't given, rather power isn't taken, it's given. And so like, oh my gosh, my husband controls all the finances. Well, absent abuse, how did you give up control of the finances? How did we get into the arrangement that we have now? How come they hold the power? How come we gave up control? And that's how we get into these one up, one down positions in, again, relationships absent abuse.
Similarly, we'll see it with when the power dynamic with parents and children is flipped and the children are making the decisions. The parents are saying yes, and they're paying for it either emotionally or behaviorally or those kinds of things. But the emotions of the child is actually what's making the decisions. And we can be in that in any relationship. You can be held emotionally hostage by someone's experience. But again, I would go back to what Taylor says. Why are you choosing to be held emotionally hostage by this relationship? And working with the therapist, you can say this is an unhealthy hierarchy, and I can work to regain healthy power in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An example, let's go back to finances. Oh, I don't like that he takes us on these expensive trips. We don't have the money for it. Okay. How come you go on the trip? I bet, you know, not going on a trip that's been paid for would be a pretty loud way to say that you're not colluding, you're not agreeing with. The person that wants something the least controls it. And that's a really upsetting concept, and it's true. It's true with finances. It's definitely true with sex. The person that wants sex the least controls it. The person that wants food the least controls it. And so that's a good way to discover who holds the power, who's in a one-up position, where the hierarchies are, is who wants what the least.
One of the things is we're talking about this and tying it back to how it relates to boundaries is, in a healthy boundary, I own myself, right? And just, and this relates to what Taylor's talking about, is that if I own myself and my decisions, and my decision to say, I'm okay if you have the power in this relationship versus, you know, I don't want you to have the power in this relationship, then I'm a full participant in that experience. If I say, hey, you know what, when it comes to researching which car we should buy, I don't want the responsibility or those kinds of things, so I'm going to give it away. I have to be accountable that I gave that away. And so I can't later say, oh, well, you didn't do it just the way I would do it. No, because I gave my power and said it was okay not to do it. And so we have to understand that there is, you know, that dynamic, especially as we become older. And in abusive relationships, there is not always that control over giving power away. Sometimes that's forced, and that's when we move into an abusive relationship.
We also need to clarify, too, the difference between giving away power and assigning responsibility, right? So we're talking about some things. So for me, okay, so I mentioned my partner last time. He and I are looking at different vacations to go on and different things to go do and to visit family and things like that. He's not inept at travel booking. He just doesn't have the experience I do of how to use miles, how to use rewards, and how to look at certain flight deals. And so it's something that we've kind of both agreed on, that I'll look at the travel booking and look at options and show them to him, and we can agree on them together. But that responsibility I'll take, right? Just as he knows how to do electrical work and things like that. And so if I need an outlet to be redone, I'm not saying like he's above me in this. That's just a responsibility that he's taken on, right?
That doesn't make a hierarchy.
So it's something. So to be aware, we're kind of getting to that realm where we could mix the two, and I see people probably could be really confused about that. Having someone like Taylor mentioned the finances. I know a couple who he's a financial broker. She is not. He has the responsibility of looking at the finances, but he presents her the information and helps her be part of that conversation. So he has not turned that into a hierarchy, right? That's a responsibility because both are still involved. And so when it would become a hierarchy like Taylor stated, is when, well, I'm in charge of this because you can't do this. And so I'm going to be in charge of this, which then will lead to me being in charge of this, 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 and this, and have only access to our credit cards or deposit or whatever. And you won't have access to that, and lets her be, or it puts her in, or him, in a limited power of the relationship. So let's just be very also clear for those listening. Hierarchies and responsibilities, they can sometimes sound very, very simple or similar, right? But they are different things. And so just be aware when you're looking at a scenario, is this a hierarchy situation or is this a responsibility situation? And how do I balance that? And how could I make something that could potentially be a hierarchy situation into a healthy responsibility scenario within our relationship, and vice versa? How does something that is a responsibility suddenly become a hierarchy situation?
And when you say hierarchy, you mean one up, one down.
Yeah.
Peer relationship is still a hierarchy.
Yeah. And so something where, yeah. So in that scenario, having us both be on the same footing, that's a responsibility, right? Even if someone else is in charge of the financial, or someone else is taking the ownership of the travel plans, doesn't mean that we're above. We still include our partner in the decision making. We just have the expertise to know what to do with that scenario. And our partner is able to still help us make the decisions when we present those facts. So that's, let's just also just be aware with that scenario. I also have seen responsibility situations when a grandparent passes away and a parent and the grandchild are the ones going through all the stuff. Could that be a hierarchy? Absolutely. Could it be a responsibility? It just depends on what's going on. So just be aware of looking at it and saying, well, if my husband's in charge of finances and I'm not, that must mean I'm in a hierarchy scenario. You could be, depending on how healthy of a boundary you have around it.
How much say do you have? How much yeah. do you communicate?
And that's where this boundary thing is. If depending on what kind of a boundary you guys have as a couple around that topic, that could actually be a healthy scenario. You may not want to know how to cash in stocks or bonds or, you know, trade or do whatever it is that you're doing with that. That might be something your partner really enjoys doing, but because they include you in the conversation, that doesn't have to become a hierarchy. So just be aware of the two.
Yeah. So for example, I'm not capable of doing hardly any housework. I'm not capable of doing any yard work. Rachel does that. And I work. And so our relationship, Rachel's and mine, is not equal division of labor by any means, but that doesn't mean that we're in a one up, one down relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you guys are explaining, because if we go back to the basis of what we talked about, is this goes to roles, and routines. So having a role that has healthy rules and routines and that's been discussed or agreed upon is a healthy boundary versus one that's been assumed or forced, right? We're talking a lot about peer relationships here. One of the things that we can see sometimes is when we assign people roles that are not developmentally healthy when it comes to kids. So the idea of parentification mm-hmm. is something that we see where we actually ask a child to co-parent and or to be emotionally responsible for an adult or the other children. And so this is a non-peer relationship that creates a hierarchy that again they don't have full say over the rules or routines and feedback on, hey, this is what I want to do and this feels healthy for me, versus there's usually a I have to do it. It's the only option to keep everyone safe and healthy experience. Yeah.
And often we may not, something to be aware of too, when it comes to that idea of parentification and that kind of hierarchy and that, you know, that transition of it. Some parents don't intentionally try to instill that in their child, but what they don't do is they don't check in after maybe an experience like, I was dealing with a family who the mom just had a baby. And so her two other children, the oldest of the two, she was like, hey, can you help your little brother get cereal? Or can you help him do this? It was a one-time thing. She didn't realize though that he was taking that as like, oh my gosh, if I don't keep doing this, mom's not going to be able to take care of little brother. So I'm going to have to do it. And it was one of those things where it wasn't because the mom's like, okay, you're now in charge, right? Like you're now in charge of your younger sibling. I got to take care of the baby. She had it be like a one-time responsibility type of situation. And so sometimes that parentification kind of situation, those types of hierarchy scenarios, it's not because the parent is like trying to put their other child into this weird hierarchy realm and they're like, I don't want to be in charge, or I'm gonna put the 5-year-old in charge instead. Sometimes it just comes about from that individual taking on that responsibility. And the unfortunate part is that unless we check in with the kids emotionally and be like, hey, do you know you don't have to keep doing that? You know, that kind of a thing. They'll just assume that role themselves. So sometimes these hierarchy scenarios are not intentionally caused. Sometimes they are just a matter of circumstances that unfortunately aren't checked into or, you know, processed through enough. So just to be aware, because I mean, I grew up in a scenario, I am the oldest of 6. You know, to some degree, we did help out with younger siblings because that was just part of being in a family unit. But definitely as someone who had like high anxiety as a kid, I took on a lot of those roles on my own. And it wasn't because I was told necessarily had to be in charge of other people. But for me, I had that anxiety response that I needed to. And that was something I had to work through.
I noticed that my oldest has that, even though we keep telling her, be a sister, don't be a parent. Yeah. And we don't have 6 kids. Like, that's a different.
You still have a good amount. So you're good. But so it's good to know it's not intentional.
Well, and I think just as we're talking about this, going back to like taking a minute to check in of what is the role, what's the role in the routine, and are we following those? And whenever the boundary feels off, going back and saying, hey, let's clarify those a little bit. Like, Taylor, you talked about that, you know, just with, even with your daughter, clarifying you're the sister and you get to be the sister and that's what this looks like. And you don't have
to help her be a peer, not a one up.
Yeah. And it is something that can come up again, naturally, situationally. And we just want to go back in and say, we want to encourage everyone to have their healthy boundaries versus taken care of. And I've experienced that in my life, the balance of resources in my family as I became an adult. You know, all of my siblings were having kids, and so I gave a lot to a situation because I didn't have as much stress around my own family. And that was something where, as I've grown up, I'm still growing up, that I have to recheck in what's the healthy role routine and rules around my relationships, and how do I take care of me and in those relationships, so it doesn't become a hierarchy where it should be a supportive relationship.
So if you are trying to determine if you have a hierarchy scenario, what would be the top, I'd say, 3 things we should probably say are things to look into that you could potentially be in a hierarchy scenario?
The question we've been saying repeatedly through this podcast, who holds the power? What is the consequence for, let's cut that. That's the third question. Who has the say?
And let me just go back to number one, who has the power?
Who holds the power,
And you identify what topic you're talking about, right? Whether it be us as a family, our finances, whatever.
Yeah, just individual topics clearly. And then overall.
Yeah. And then who has the say?
Who has the say, meaning the individual topics. Mm-hmm. And then what's the consequence for having a say?
Okay.
And back to who has the say comes to where it can be an agreed responsibility where we're allowed to give feedback, even if we're not, if we don't have the power, but the feedback loop is open and healthy. That would be a little bit, that would be an important thing, because, and Haley, you talked about this, where maybe someone's planning the vacation, but the feedback is 100% open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as you are aware of that within your relationship, again, like that idea that Taylor was just saying, who has the say, right? If let's say my partner comes to me and says, hey, I don't want to go to Cancun. And I'm like, first of all, are you well? Okay? But let's say he's like, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I don't want to go. And I'm like, well, fine. If you don't want to go to Cancun, I'm not going to talk to you. Right. Like, we're done. Essentially.
I'm going to punish you.
Yeah. So don't talk to me for the next 3 weeks. Don't, even if it's like, I'm angry, I need time alone. If I'm handling that in a unhealthy way, you may be thinking you're handling it in the best way possible. That's what I see with my clients all the time, is they go, well, my partner asked for space and they haven't talked to me in 2 weeks. And I go, yeah, there's one thing to say, I need an hour just to process this. Can I come back to you? I'm just feeling a lot of feelings. I need to regulate. I just want to see, I'm going to check in with myself. That's one thing. But to say, I can't talk to you right now, I'm going to need time. And then to go a prolonged period of time, even if it's more than like 20 minutes without like talking about it a little bit, that is a differentiation of power right there, right? Because as the individual, now I don't want to do anything to make my partner do that again, right? Because I don't want to bring up issues, or else they're going to ignore me for a long period of time. And then I'm going to look like the crazy one, right?
So, and you gave a little time definition for partners that live together. For people that don't live together, it could be about, I need to, you know, it's okay to say, I need to process this in therapy. Yeah. I need to wait till after finals are over. Like, it's okay, but having an idea of,
you're giving a follow up somewhere.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. there is a follow up and there can be an extreme time. Giving someone the silent treatment when you're in person with them becomes a time of like that's starting to get awkward and feel like rejection versus just, hey, there's situationally, we don't have time to follow up.
Yeah, the silent treatment's the coffin nail for a relationship often.
And let's also just say, it doesn't sound like rejection. That is a way of rejection, right? Like that is completely a way to reject. It may be a roundabout way of doing it. You're not saying, I reject you, right? It's like, well, I didn't say anything at all. It's like, but that body language, it's what rejection.
It's what we call passive aggressive.
So we call stonewalling, right? Yeah. In a relationship, when you've got the Gottmans and they're talking about the four horsemen. Yeah, it's passive aggressive. It's stonewalling. It's like, essentially, I'm just going to kind of do what I want to do, and I could care less about what you do, right? And so I couldn't care less about what you do. And it's the idea that, yeah, so when we're talking about the hierarchy, yeah, that's something to just be aware of, is that a lot of it also is getting feedback from your partner about what they are seeing too. Because sometimes a hierarchy can be determined of saying, yeah, I really haven't felt like this has been all in the best way. And sometimes the hierarchy can be determined of the sense of, you know, I don't see an issue. I don't think you should be in charge of that. So I'm going to do that. And that's when that kind of gives you a heads up that, ooh, something feels a little off, right? So sometimes checking in with our partner, or if we're talking about a parent-child relationship, we're talking about a friend, you know, it's good to check in with that and see what's going on.
And I love that you talked about that. And as I was listening, I heard those three aspects that we talked about, right? There's the power, but then there's the say and the consequence. So checking in will tell you those other things.
Mm-hmm. There's been times where even in friendship circles where honestly, the hierarchy should not really, there shouldn't really be much of a hierarchy. We all have our different things that I've had, you know, I had some experiences where I had a friend who they put a hierarchy into the friendship for no real reason. Like there wasn't like, there was a, you know, specialty going on. There wasn't a, you know, a scenario where they needed to be in a hierarchy. They just decided there would be a hierarchy in the relationship.
Meaning one up.
Yeah. One up of saying like, essentially like, ooh, you don't know as much as I do, or I have a better grip on things than you do. And in that scenario, what ended up happening is when I approached that individual and I was like, hey, I'm sensing this weird thing. I wasn't obviously saying there's a hierarchy there. Can you tell me what's going on? Right. I was more talking from an emotional mind of saying, hey, I don't like what's going on. This feels weird. It feels like you're kind of one-upping me. I was met with additional one-upping and additional invalidation of my feelings of saying, you're not understanding this correctly, and essentially gaslighting. And in that situation, I realized if there's going to be a hierarchy, I had to step away. It's the idea of saying, okay, if you're creating a hierarchy, I don't need to be involved, right? I don't need to insert myself into it.
So, I wonder if climate change would be an issue if there was less gaslighting in the world.
You're so funny. What I love about that is, as we tie this back to boundaries, mm-hmm. is that if you're noticing something and you're like, this feels off, and going in and having the conversation and you're like, this still feels off. It's not about telling the person, by the way, you're a jerk and you're doing this wrong. That's never the response. What you then check in is, what is my boundary? How do I change the roles, rules, and routines with this person so that I can stay in my own place and be responsible for myself. So what I see a lot of people do is they start to point fingers, right? Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of people saying, I could see a lot of people saying, well, they're gaslighting. You need to call them out and you need to like make them stop. And it's like, you don't always need to call somebody out. You can just choose a different relationship with that person.
You can state also, like with me, what I chose to do was, I'm not okay with this scenario. I don't like being gaslit. And I'm just letting you know, like, I'm bowing out kind of thing. Back to what you're saying, Jen, I didn't then become a personalization of saying, you're awful. You're kind of the worst. And I have a lot of names I could call you, right? Did I want to? Absolutely. Because I felt really validated in the fact of I was seeing this is not okay. And it's not only hurting me, it's hurting other people. But with that scenario, it's definitely really important to look at it and say, like, it's okay to stand in a healthy boundary and say, I don't like the scenario that's happening. So I'm going to make that decision to move out of here. You can state that I'm not happy, right. But it's when we then, like you said, like personalize it. That's when we become persecutor, right? We don't want to have to do that. That's not actually stepping in a good boundary. That's automatically alerting me that I'm probably going to do a really unhealthy boundary and something that's not going to quite work well. It's also going to keep continuing to start drama probably within me and my circle, and that's not going to be good. So just stating, I'm not okay with this. This is what I'm going to be doing to remove myself from the scenario. It's not because of your decisions. That automatically helps that hierarchy kind of dissipate, right? It also helps me be able to, like we're saying, this whole thing's about boundaries. This is a way of conducting a boundary. It helps me have a healthy boundary. And again, like you said in the very beginning, staying in my power of what I need to do to have a healthy boundary.
Yeah, it that can be so complex because sometimes we start to see things and you might listen to, you know, say a podcast and then you're like, let me go. And my brain is trying to figure out how this applies to my life. And then we start calling everyone out and trying to change them. That's the rescuer. Review how that's not healthy and actually doesn't give you any power, right? You want to go into a place of, I want to create healthy relationships, and that's what can I control? And people who don't agree with a healthy relationship are challenges that you might have to work with, but not something you have to control or try and change.
Yeah. And it's good to recognize, just as everything else we've talked about, hierarchies can be a positive thing. It can be a good thing. It can be a needed thing. But when are we identifying that a hierarchy is becoming a not healthy situation? When is it not serving for a purpose that we had identified? And how do we then create a boundary to help us be able to disengage from that kind of thinking and relationship with other people?
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.